Good. So there's a piece over here in the Maral on a previous Nekuda. And this is going back on B'zayis Yehuda. So it says that Yechirum al Yom Azayis Yehuda Kol Oysa Shanim She Yisrael B'midbar Yatzmais Ashudim Megugolim B'arayin Atshom Ad Moshe Bikesh Al Avrachmim Olav Fanibonish Migorim Ruv V'Shed Yehuda B'zayis Yehuda. So Yehuda's problem was because he had accepted a klola from his father. His, you know, even al tnai, it says a klola works, and therefore is atzmoisa megol golim ba'arin. Ach amad moishe bikesh al avrachmim, and amad on every bain shayla mi garam the Ruvain ben Yehuda v'zayis Yehuda miyad shamashem kol Yehuda. So it says, all Avrei Lashafa, they varim moved into their sockets. In other words, the skeleton came together. But v'lehavikum ma'ailel in the Masifta Rikia, they didn't make it, they didn't bring him into the Masifta Rikia. So then he said, v'l amri tivienu. So that took care of that. L'havik ha'yoda l'mishkol l'mitrach b'shmaitz ha'abonin. He didn't know how to handle with them. So he said, Yodav Ravloi. Lahavaka Salkle Shmaitse Blahilchasa, he wasn't able to be to Oimin on the Sigasa, Be'eza Mitzarav Tia. So there's a whole bunch of stages of different klolas, or I don't know what to call it, different punishments or shortcomings. What are all these stages? That's what the morale is going to speak about. Okay, so the morale is Olivar of Leshafa. Kol Eilu Madregas Zu Achazu. These are all Madregas one after the other, obviously, just the way the context is. Pirish Atzmoisa Megulgolim, it was Atzmogolish, Haino She Rochak Me'olama Elyon She Olama Achtus. So he says like this, the common denominator in all of these inyanim is that the main distinction between this world and the world to come is the world to come, or the Olam HaEmes, is Echad. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, and therefore all the pieces fit together. And this world is a world of Ribui, Pizur, and everything is scattered all over the place, and it doesn't seem as if things come together. I guess if you want a reflection of it, you have the Dor HaFlogger. Dor HaFlogger was, there was an attempt to go out against the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That attempt was an attempt to build a one united community. In other words, that's, if you want to be Kineged Hashem, like Hashem, or in contrast to Hashem, you must be one. So all of humanity tried to be one, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mefazer it. He was mafkia that, and it's the hefech of what the kavanah was. So all of these things, Yehuda over here is going to go through this. He was meruchik nadi. If you want to ask yourselves what is the worst onesh possible, being that if Hashem Echad Achdus is the thing that is the ideal, so somebody who is menuda means he's condemned to remain a prat as opposed to a union. That in a sense is a very bad onesh, and that's why Chazal say a Talmid Chacham, you know, it's considered better to give the person malchus than to have him be in cherem or nidui. Cherem, nidui, all of these are where the person is really it cast away. And Yehuda, it says, was menuda mishtei olamos. That's that was what he had accepted upon himself. That's what happened. So he says, keine she rochik moile me alle shoel machtes we sehr sche ama ki hoyo at smoyse me gulgolim who are period by hevdel at smoyse me gulgolim is the exact opposite of achtus. A person has a goof and all of the bones together, the skeleton locks in, and this is something which is totally cast aside, and it's totally bones. It's very similar to where Chazal say nasa gal shel atzomus. The lashon gal shel atzomus means a heap of bones. A heap of bones means no two bones are connected together. So it's the extreme in something which has been totally ripped apart.
Is there just as a beer on that, so what does it mean he's nasa gal shel atzomus? He's what? He's dead, or he's just completely not connected to anyone else in his world, or
so the moral usually teaches galshat somis, not a literal dead or little heap, but some sort of pegia in his ruchnius, which is akin. In other words, the point of calling that galshat somis is that the tzura of the person is rent asunder. The person is not, if having all the pieces click into place and be together is the tzuras adam, the opposite of that would be what he describes over here. If hoisat smoysim zeshom gai smoysim golem who appeared by hebel, shall hoisat eshama choizers oilma alien, rakoyla dain kirv oilma zesh oilma purit. In other words, the furthest. To be part of Olam HaElyon means your Metzius is part and parcel of a different world. And if your Metzius is to be Mefuzah Meforad, then you don't have a Metzius that has any Sheikhs to the world to come. If all of the different parts of the body are each one is somewhere else, then you don't have entrance to Olam HaElyon, because Olam HaElyon is a Metzius that includes people of that nature. I want to add another knetch to it. It says that the taiva vakish nifrad, the olam of taiva, is what brings out the lack or the disjunctness of the evarim. For instance, when a person is about taiva, the thing that is operating at any given moment is the particular taiva without thought to what is due for the rest. So, Lamashal, my stomach sees something delicious to eat. The fact that my kidney doesn't like it, the fact that my stomach doesn't like that my heart doesn't like it, I make a decision that my stomach reaches out for it. For what it wants, and without regard of anything else, the taiva fits a particular aver, and does not allow for the person to look at the whole picture and make a decision based on that. So the more a person is shakur and taiva, the more each aver does its own thing. I find this pleasurable, even though it's not good for some other part of my body. That's a typical case where a person is acting out of a specific ava rather than just the qualities of Tzuras Adam. That's in Gashmias alone, and certainly Ruchnias. So, because nichnas evarv l'shafa, when the evarv clicked into place, into the sockets or whatever it was, who akir v'al olam elyon asher ein shem pirud klal. So that begins the first step towards that. So the reason why you ask a person, I understand something, you want to be healthy, yes. Why? Because I want to live, I want to exist, I want to breathe and live long and so on. So why are you doing X or Y or Z? Why aren't you walking more? Why my feet don't feel like it? So you're really acting not with the das, which includes the entire person, but rather you're acting out of the feet do what's good for the feet, the stomach does what's good for the stomach, and so on. And b'meila, you don't have a tzuras adam shleima. because shenichas zivar leshava kivya umashenichas mesifta rekia uodu esemayla shoyu lechibah mineshamas atzuz zorachayim bemesifta rekia sheshudvegs hashemis ba. So the next step is that the person himself is a shalom. His different halakim act in tandem, but every single person is only one aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's elikus. And if a person cannot act in tandem with a tzibur, then he's not part of it, and he's also lacking. So the step of being able to be mishtatef with a tzibur, and that's why it's interesting of the things that are listed as being very bad, that you not give us a tshuva, don't let you do tshuva, is if a person is peirish medaket tzibur, he moves away from what the tzibur has decided to do. I mean, obviously we're talking about the tzibur decided to do good things, but you know, I mean, if the tzibur decided to go golfing, I'm not aware that there's an issa not to golf along with them. But if the tzibur has a tainus, that's the typical case. David, where is a tainus or tefillah? You think it's not necessary, whatever it is. But if you perish menaket tzibur, you it's makif tshuva. It's something very bad. The reason is because no one person has a tzur shleim of ruchnias. So in as much as I'm part of a klal, then I have that tzur. I mean, you have to think a minute. Perish naket tzibur means the person himself is doing everything right. He's a tzaddik, he's doing the mitzvahs, things are really, really good. It's just that he himself has decided, you know, the tzibur is doing something, he's decided to step aside from the tzibur. That's that itself. So even if the person is perfect mitzad what he is, he's missing a ruchnistic dimension if he's not part of tzibur, because no person alone has the total picture. So that's mesifta rekia means it's the hechetimtza, and that's it's important to understand what mesifta rekia is. Mesifta rekia means it's the tzura ruchnias of all chachmei Yisrael interacting in a way that reflects the big picture. Every single chacham in Klal Yisrael has a chelik in Torah that's uniquely his. These are all ayin panim le Torah, mem tesharim of tumim, mem tes le Torah. All of the different expressions of Chazal about many facets of Torah, shishin ribu, everyone has an ois. That means that you don't have the shleimus of Klal Yisrael unless you have the entire complement of Deos in Shemayim. Mesifta Rekia is the sum total of everybody together on this inyan. So that's the second mile that I had with these neshamas. So he says like this. He says that the in the Gemara it enumerates that they led him into Mesifta Rekia. He didn't know to be Mishkal or Mitach Bishmaitza. So those were the last two points. So let's explain this. When we're talking about something that is me'achet the person and makes the person a davar shalem, first of all, it is most specifically the seichel. In other words, the one organ that really is meant to put each in its place is the das. The heart may supply blood to every part of the body, but it doesn't give any directions about you should, you know, prefer this for that. The das is really the control. The das is the one that says, you should do this. Don't talk, run away. Don't run away, stand and talk. Don't stand and talk, fight. Eat, don't eat. The das is the one that controls the person. So the olam haruchni that is going to incorporate everything is going to have to be the olam hadas. If a person doesn't know how to be noisiv and noisin in halacha, means he's not part of that world, mitzad es das. The moshel. If I take a person and I teach him a lot of Gemara, just bal peh. In other words, learn chaza and say. And the Gemara has an expression when you repeat something by rote without understanding. Gemara to tehei. It means sing it as a song. In other words, basically, it's a little rhyme, it's a little ditty for you, and you just kind of sing and say it. You're not part of it. So when a person memorizes information or stuff, there's no chibur of the person with it, and male the person not shy to elam adas. When a person is able to be shakal vitari, then he's part of that. So lemashal, if you're in a chabura, and a chabura of people learning together, the people that can ask and answer and reply and offer a different malach, anybody who can be shakal vitari is part of that. Anyone with actual vitari is in the room, but he's not part of that. To be part of that, you need to be able to be mishtatif. The shakal vitari means you're able, you have an element of das to offer over here. So that's what. Finally, the equivalent in das of the achdus revarim is asukish shmeitz libet hilchasa. In other words, all the different angles of kasha, teretz, svara are part of a picture. If a person does not have the ability to arrange it in a way that the final point comes out, then it's pieces. Lemoshel, a person is writing a shtigl Torah. A person is making a shtigl Torah. So he has a kasha, and he has this, and he has that. The ideal is you come up with a teretz that answers everything, and basically what you're doing is you're putting everything into place. So this is the hagdara of the halacha. This is why in this case like this. This is why in this case like that. This is why it's an exception in this case. This is why it's a call in that case, and so on. That's the ultimate in doing the same thing on the level of das as you did in the level of on the level of the physical. So asuka shmeitz and hilchasa doesn't mean when you look at the medrash pashut, it means like he wins, like he gets it right, and you know that's sort of where his what to call it, his victory is or whatever it is. No, the pshat is asuka shmeitz and hilchasa is the ability to take the entire bundle of kashas, terutzim, backs and forth, and make sense out of it, and be misadarit. So that's doing at the level of das the same as he was doing here. In a certain sense, this is the what's the right word for it? This is the raison d'être of a shtickel Torah, where as opposed to when you're sitting and learning with somebody, you have kashas, you have to root them. Not always do they match up. Not always do they have the answer for this or that. But when you put it together, there's an accomplishment that all the pieces stem into one thing, and you have it as one unit. I had a roommate in Yerushalayim when I was a bacha. It was a vision tzachasid, very nice boy, very sweet guy. Learning lumdas was never something he had been exposed to terribly much. You know, good guy, good natured fellow, sat and learned nicely. And you know, one day Reb Nosson Tzvi in those days wasn't saying a shei yet, but he had chabur subachim that he worked with. He was one of them. He told him that he's going to have to say chabur next week. So he was like a nervous wreck. He was all over the place. What's going to be iron? What's going to be fine? The day before I come in lunchtime to lay down, he's there. He says, Aaron, I have a chabur. Fine. And he tells it to me. So there was a ran. He had a few kashas on it, you know, kashas that people asked. So he says, so what I see from all this is that the ran is a very difficult ran. And he turned around and went to sleep. And it was quite interesting maskana out of the hard to disagree. But the point is that when a person puts it together, he's engaging that. So the process of bringing everything together is a process of bringing it into the world of Ruchnias. I want to add one more point that the Maharal doesn't quite make it here, but I think it's part of it. And it goes like this. We'll see in a second what he finishes here, but I want to bring another knage here. Why Yehuda? So this whole mahalach happened to Yehuda, and it starts off with me goram to Reuven to be moida. Yehuda is going for him to be moida. So the metzias of what the metzias of this, the schus that he had that started this whole process was his being moida and having other people be moida. Let's talk a little bit about where the problem started from. Yehuda was put into Chayram Nidui al Tanai. The Gemara says he fulfilled what he set out to do, but since he even said it, that's a Nid al Tanai. So Lemaisa, the taking of Yosef out of
just a question. Sure. Why does the detail Tanai come? You fulfill the Tanai, so mehecha teisa that comes.
Okay, so that's a separate. That's something to talk about separately. Was why is it evil Tanai? Lachura. Well, let's leave that alone for a minute. I want to go more to a more central point. It is something worth talking about. Well, let's see if we'll have time to get to it. But let's first get this point down. The main, let's call it the central problem of the Shvatim, was the Shvatim were meant to be a dogma of all the pieces coming together to reflect Hashem Echad. Yedua, and Maral says many times, the Echad, the Ches is for the 8 Bnei Agvira, Dalet is Bnei Sashifcha, that's 12, and 1 is Yaakov or Levi, who's the center point that everybody comes around. Notice the Shvatim are the first time when pieces click together. Yishmael and Yitzchak are forever distinct. Esav and Yaakov are distinct. The Shvatim is where you have that coming together. Selling Yosef destroyed that. And taking Binyamin away from his father, in other words, it was also a type, even though he was doing it to bring Yosef back, it was another step in dismembering the Shvatim. Not only dismembering the Shvatim, in a certain sense, Yaakov, he tore him away from Yaakov. So that means that Yaakov was, it means that Yaakov's role as the center of the Shvatim was dislodged. Not only were you losing a member of the Shvatim, but in a certain sense, he said, I will die on this one as well. It meant that he was destroying the Shvatim by removing another Shevet. By taking Binyamin, it meant that all Bnei Yisrael would be gone. Yaakov, he was torn away from Yaakov. All of the above, that's what Yehuda did wrong. The tikkun, when you have different pieces that need to be together, so we have two ways of doing it. One way is we can force the pieces together with an outside force. So these pieces need to be together. I put in screws and I screw it together. Put on glue, put on screws, screw it together, and so on. That works okay, but it's definitely not perfect. It's not perceived as being one. When a person takes pieces and puts it together, makes a car out of it, the pieces function together and it's very nice, but nobody sees this car as being be'etzim one piece. It's somebody ingeniously put together a whole bunch of pieces. But when you have, let's say, a situation like, where you have the old time, the old movies, when you wanted to have a sign with somebody that you're the right person, you took something, you broke it in half, and if you met and the two pieces clicked together and formed one piece, you knew that this was the right person. So you have things that are organically one, and the when they fit together, when they come together, you recognize it's one unit. The difference is, for that to happen, it means as if the piece itself inherently clicks with the other one. When you have a piece that clicks in with the other piece, then mitzah, the piece itself, it's part of the other one, and that's a very different. It's a very different matziv than when you screwed it together or holding it together. When a person is moda, when you have a bezdin that rules, we have a king that rules over the country. So, okay, you know, everybody's got their own interests. Interests of people clash many times. So, you know, when the different interests clash, you sometimes have somebody who says, okay, ad kan you, from here is you. You'll be serving duty on this day, you'll be serving this day. And it creates a country that functions. But the real sense that this is all part of one is when each piece comes forth on its own and presents itself. So that's when you have that sense that it's coming from within. So the Haidah of Yehuda, which was Goyim through the Moida, in other words, Yehuda established the medium of Haidah, which is really the most profound expression of bringing the pieces together. Because any judgment that's imposed from the outside is an arrangement. Anything that comes from within means that be'etzem, the pieces are shayach to each other, and be'etzem, there's a certain mahalach to it. So that's why Yehuda was involved in ripping Binyamin out, and that's why his onish was this type of onish. His saving grace was that not only was he moida, but he allowed for Reuven to be moida. In other words, he had established Haidah as a type of interaction that's appropriate. People learned, the other shvatim learned from him. So b'meila, that became what saved him. That's one piece. He doesn't say it, but I think it's definitely implied. Let's just see the last piece over here. Now, he's explaining the last piece in the Maralas. He's explaining what is this inyan of what's this inyan of asukish ma'aseh b'luchasa. V'dov zeh nispar l'kamen etzel higil aproshes drochem nitzel mikulam. There's a Gemara later on in Saita that what's the pasuk near mitzvah Torah or and so on. Moshal, a person was going in the dark at night, and he's going to fall and stumble over stuff, and he and there are robbers and animals all around, and he doesn't know where he's going. So if he has a torch, he doesn't stumble over the thorns and the holes. If he has, when it gets morning, he the animals and the robbers recede, and finally he comes to a precious drachim, he knows which road to go to take. So Chazal is okay. So ner mitzvah, we got that. Torah or what is precious drachim? What's the ruchnistic parallel to precious drachim? V'dos is going to real precious drachim. Well, ukama my precious drachim. V'amat tamit chacham the mosik shmeitzel bilchasa. So there's two pshat in Gemara. One is tamit chacham that mosik shmeitzel bilchasa. One is a Yom HaMisa. So what does Masik Shmaisi also mean? Come my Prashach Vamatam Chacham the Masik Shmaisi also. For Hoy Yehuda Dvei Kusa Shezvach Mitzar Amitas HaSaga Vezeo Dveikas Gomo She'enoi Sor Me Hashem Yisbarach Vehu Nikra Prashas Drachim HaShezboya So he says over here that Prashas Drachim was the thing that is Muramis to Asukhashai Hilchasa. So let's explain what Prashas Drachim is, you know, in this sense over here. There are many roads going different places. The hafchana between one road to another road is only shayach when roads cross each other. When you have the two roads crossing each other, that's when you could possibly have hafchana and establish the road. In other words, if I'm on a highway with no exits and no U-turns allowed, there isn't much choice here, and I'm not creating. I'm stuck. That's where I'm going. When it comes to a Prashas Drachim, where I could turn in different directions, that's where where do I want to go? What's the road I want to go on? That's where it comes into play. So this in the search for good or for emes, as that Gemara said, as Gemara later goes on. So we take care of the outside forces that are fighting the person. So we take care of the barkonim and the koitzim with the mitzvah. We take care of the listim with the Torah. But the problem is, I still don't have a place that I'm going to. I only have a place I'm going to when I'm weighing one road against another road. It's when I have a Prashas Drachim and I have the ability to weigh one against another road, that's where I have the Bir HaEmes. That's exactly what a Sukkah Shema Yisrael means. Kolzman, if somebody tells me halacha, and I repeat the halacha as it is, I'm not really deherring where I'm going with it. I'm not really deherring any mahalach to it. It's when I have a clash. Tosis is a kasha between two gemaras. I have one svara that says another svara. I now need to understand a deeper point that takes in. That's when I deher my road. The mashal I always use for Prashas Drachim is as follows. When I don't know about it's Israel or South Africa, but here we have a lot of highways that for long stretches of the road, the highway serves as two highways. For instance, you'll have an east-west highway joining up with a north-south highway at a certain point where it'll be the same stretch of road will be both the 70 west and something else north. And it's only when you get to a point that they diverge that you really make a decision. Do you want to go 70 west or do you want to go with whatever north? So without a Prashas Drachim, you're always stuck in one nekuda. This is what I have. That's it. It's when I have two roads and I put each one into place. This road I took till here, now I'm switching this road. That's when I have this mahalak I'm talking about. So I'll go upon him, the Prashas Drachim that we explained over there is equivalent to Sukkah Shmaitzi B'Hilchasa. It's when you have a Kasha Havmin and Teres and you go in a different direction. This, by the way, is something that it's valuable to understand something. One of the things that confounds people who, let's say, Bala Tshuva, or people who didn't have a chance to learn, so you're ready to accept. So I understand learning Kitzur Shacharuch. Someone should come and bang the halachas down. I understand that. I understand learning Hashkafa. Somebody comes and bangs the Hashkafa down. Okay, I get that. But what's Gemara about? It's one thing if you hope to be a major Pesach and you're going to pass halachas. Okay, it's a tool. It's a mahala for passing halachas, and I'll use it for that. But what's the point of learning it? Well, why is so much time spent on it? And the answer is, I don't have a real Birur HaEmes unless I include the Shaka Vitaria and come out to Ramaskana. Ein Adoyma, it's two different worlds, what I know before and what I know afterwards. When I'm traveling on the road and there's no alternatives, so I, yes, I'm on the road and I'm going on the road, but there's no dehair over here of where I'm going to, because there's not much choice. This is a road that I'm driving on. When a person has two roads that he must choose at this point, where do I go? That needs to have an understanding of the Kalolius Inyan for him. He needs to understand what's the point I'm trying to go to and how am I going to use this stretch of heart, this stretch of heart, this stretch. When I see the kashas, the different kashas, and I need to make an understanding that will include, you know, that will put each kasha in its place, like Tosfos does. Tosfos has different sugyas that he has kasha in each other. And then he says, therefore, I must see this mahalach, and everything else must come into place. That is where the person reaches the emek of the real nekuda. Because if the real nekuda is not be'omkoi, he hasn't hit the midpoint. He hasn't hit the core yet. So he's grabbing. So just like if you grab somebody's clothing, the person can wiggle out of the clothing and run away. You don't have the person yet. If you grab a halacha by its outside, you don't have the halacha. But it's only when you grab it at its essence, which is parallel to this nekuda we're talking about, of the inner course on the echad. Okay, any questions?
So that explains the many Gemaras, and for sure a lot of Tosfosim, but a lot of times a Gemara can ask also a question of what did this Rav say? What did this Tane say? And there's a machlekes what he said. Or things like that. How would you...
So first of all, when we talk about the Gemara, we need to understand the Gemara went through editing. That's very important. I always tell people, if the Gemara is a tape recorder that was in the Beis Medrash and we're just bringing down everything that was there, then yes, I get it. But the Gemara was edited by Ravina Ravashi and a whole group of people. So they took the pieces that are important and brought it down. Now, so first of all, sometimes there was a suffix in what Rav said or whatever, but it's more than that. Look at Tosfos. Tosfos, a lot of times, will raise a question, what's the right gears in the Gemara? There are mechonim in Eretz Yisrael, Talmud HaSholeim, that have all the manuscripts, and on any given Masechta, there's 10, 20,000 variations, with Vavs and Yuds, and whatever it is. The difference is, Tosfos dealt with variations that have a seichel as to why or why not one should have this or that. In other words, these are two reasonable things to understand in what he meant. If we have the type of issues that the Gemara brings, where it's a suffix what he said, it's because each one of these, yes, it came down as a suffix to us, but it's a question worth pondering because each side might be right. So usually there'll be an understanding, just like Tosfos, when Tosfos says, Istigarsi, it's not a librarian sitting and saying, we found some Gemara, some Gemara, like that. He's explaining there are two approaches that stem from Gersa, but both of them seem to be valid. Both of them seem to have a good point in the sugya. So there's always going to be some understanding that you get. When Tosfos brings two possible shittas based on two gears in the Gemara, each one usually has some Havana that has merit and bears consideration. That I think would be the reason why it's brought like that. Besides, obviously, you want to go email the Emerson Halacha, so you'll need to consider it. But I'm saying, I believe there must have been a lot more sfeikas that they didn't feel were worth considering. It was obviously be A or B, and it's just a technical thing. Those times when Gemara brings some sort of something like this, there has to be a reason why we could possibly assume he said this. The fact that we didn't say, it's obviously this, it means that there's something there that allows us to understand it that way.
just the Esav who stands against Yaakov. So they have an Achdus, but not built on the correct Chalokim, right?
Correct.
That's why they could build the world, but not based. They have the Inyan of Achdus, but based on the wrong, coming from the wrong kind of Tzad, in a certain sense. Whereas,
let's put it this way: they have become disjointed. They have become they're not clicking together. Let's give a mush on the world of business. A business, the bottom line of a business is a bottom line, is a profit. The guy doing research is supposed to do research that will help find products or develop products that will make a lot of profit. Let's say this guy, this researcher is a fantastic researcher. He's so thrilled by the science of it that he's willing to invest money that he knows he can never recoup because he's just thrilled with the science of it. So it makes him a wonderful, wonderful researcher. It makes him a destructive part of the business, because if the bottom line is bottom line, it means all the pieces in the business are working towards a bottom line. He's just. I said once pshat in Yaakov. It says that what Esav did was, you know, veyigah bekafir eichoy, and his foot went out of place. So the Zohar says that these are the tamche deraisa, the people who support Torah. So the Velt says that the pshat is that there's a lack of support of Torah, there's lack of money, and so on. Fine, it's not a bad pshat, but I think it's deeper than that. It means there's a misalignment between that which supports Torah and Torah itself. A lot of the more difficult things that happen when Moistas do things, their Torah is done a lot Sara Yosef Tov, and what's supporting it is kind of not quite there. That's a misalignment. You know, it's where Esav, it says the Sfarim say that when Esav was, had everything been okay, Esav would have supported Yaakov, and that would have been fine. You know, that's like Shmuel made it. This person can, like his son is Zvulun. But what happened was the effect on Esav by the fact that you have to, you're dependent on someone who's less than sterling, and there's a problem with that. It's not Pashit. You don't seem to be doing lemaisa what you're preaching in Hashkafa. Okay, good. So okay, good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Thanks, Yaakov. Brilliant.
Thank you.
I really have a different experience. Really amazing.
All right, I'm happy. I'm happy it works.